Welcome back, guys, and this is Divine Podcast episode 2. This is the day before Thanksgiving, and happy almost Thanksgiving, guys.
All right, you guys are American.
Woot, happy Turkey Day.
Mine already passed.
We actually...
it was in October. Canadians are different.
Oh, sorry to you non-Americans out there.
Apparently yeah,
don't believe in
don't
Thanksgiving.
America!
We can enjoy
fuck
it.
Fuck yeah! Coming back to save the motherfucking day, I'm bored.
So yeah, I'm Will. I kind of introduced myself already, and the other hosts.
I'm Zach, I just broke my Rubik's Cube.
And I'm Project Sora, who actually isn't part of this podcast on a regular basis, but for whatever reason, I'm here this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
We kind of kidnapped him. He was
yeah.
on Teenage Vids, and I'm like, I got a rope, and we're about to do a podcast. Let's
yeah.
add these two things together.
Exactly.
And this is how we are. Yeah, pretty much. We launched our site last week, and now we're going to share our thoughts about it. And I'd say it went pretty well, considering all the grassroots advertising that Zach has been doing.
Yeah, what was it? On CageViz, you would just, every post, you have a paragraph just advertising Monster Vine. It'd be longer than your post itself.
It would actually be on topic, which was why they were never deleted. And they'd be longer than the whole fucking post itself. You're right. They'd be longer than what the fuck the topic was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of like... That's what happened.
Like, count to 300 before staff posts. Sorry for interrupting this countdown of Sesame Street, but Monster Vine is an important message, and so on and so on.
Like, I like how you, like, created all these, like, elaborate backstory to your posts. Like, one's about, like, a demented kraken, and...
Well, I didn't read that one.
That is the Monster Vine, a kraken
oh, wait, never mind,
mixed
I did.
With...
Never mind, I remember that one. That was very strange.
What the fuck
did I mix it with? You know what? That's fine. That's who we are at Monster Vine, evidently.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly who we are. Not by choice, but pretty sure if I had a choice in this, I'd be president, but eh.
Yeah, the president of this whack job of a site. And, yeah.
That wouldn't go well. That wouldn't go well. I'd be like, you know what? This fucking shit's too much work, guys. I'm out.
Yeah, it all goes to me, like, because, like, I had to do everything. Okay.
You're such a workaholic.
That's so true.
Well,
it's so true. I'm sorry, William, but damn, you gotta take a break, son. You gotta, like, take a nap more often.
Well, like, I do everything.
Will, I'm going to buy you a beer. You need 60, but I only have a dollar.
Alright, okay. Well, like, I guess everything went fine, because, like, we actually got hits for once.
Yeah, File Front.
First time.
File Front reference.
Dedicated to our site.
File Front reference.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yes. Let's talk about the File Front reference.
Oh, yes. We actually, like, actually on our first week, we got a post on File Front linking back to our site, and that was pretty cool. It was all Zach's,
oh, yeah?
Zach's doing, because he found out that Treyarch... That marketplace thing.
You fucking took credit. No, take credit now. You took credit enough in the post. Take
well,
credit
I'm the
now.
One who does all the work, remember? So if I didn't send in that news tip, we wouldn't have
person.
Gotten
you
on file front.
I played Halo
Sorry.
3.
No,
I found the fucker.
I did everything at this point that got us on file front.
So is he really your friend? Like, let's get that on the record. Is he your friend? Or did you just coerce some guy?
Yeah, he is on my friends list. If you want to look him up, his name is Rex. He has the Treyarch gamer picture, and he's played War the War before.
His, game,
else
his gamer tag is Rex? Like, just Rex?
Rex. W-R-E-C-K-S.
Okay, because I was about to say, I'm like, if you got Rex on Xbox Live, that's some pretty serious name. Like, you'd think they'd be taken. Like, some of the shit that on Xbox Live is...
To be fair, he does work for a gaming company, so he probably did have...
True.
Good
all
choice
right,
games.
Right.
Yeah. Pretty much figured that out.
Like, I'm pretty sure Microsoft would just say to the original Rex, we are sorry, but your name is inappropriate, so change it now. Then he enters in his name. Thanks, Microsoft.
Okay, content-wise, for Monster Vine, we got pretty much most of what we wanted on the site, even though...
Well, that's an overstatement.
Okay.
No offense to the lovely staff members. I love you all, even though I haven't met you all. But I would love to have read more reviews this week.
Out of four?
But it didn't happen.
Out of 12, we got out of four.
It didn't happen.
Hey, I would have had more, but I'm a lazy bastard who was pissed off about not having a capture card.
Yeah, whatever happened to that capture card?
Well, which one? The one that I had before that wouldn't detect sound anymore, so it was just pointless picture? Or the one I bought that I spent 6 hours talking to some dude whose every sentence could end with, and here's your slurpee, for 6 hours talking to that man, talking to him about how I could possibly get the drivers to be signed for Vista, and nothing worked. I told him I'm returning his product and hoping that the UPS guy shoves it up his ass.
Wow.
Yeah, we didn't get that Gears of War thing up as we predicted.
It's going to happen, just not now. We're still practicing for that. Actually, we didn't practice at all before, so it's a good thing that happened, because now we actually are practicing.
Nice, so you actually have something prepared next time we actually do that.
You know what? Maybe. Maybe I will. Or maybe it's just going to be a lot of endless death and us screaming, "Fuck you, Locust! Why would you shoot me?" Random shit like that.
I don't know. It could make up for very entertaining streaming. But, yeah.
I don't know. I don't feel like confirming the Xbox Live stereotype. I really don't.
But it's so fun sometimes.
It really is when you're trash-talking on Gears. But otherwise, no.
Okay, but, Monstervine, we actually brought in a lot of staff for the launch before. So,
including one
a lot
from
of people
Lewis.
Did not know each other. So we're going to actually try to figure out how to get the staff together.
Good.
I say one day we just have a big MSN convo, and then as soon as it's done, we save that shit because we know it's going to be fucking hilarious.
I can imagine.
And there'll be stuff in there that we can just use for blackmail later on. They're like, you know, you said this shit. You said this shit first. You said this shit second week. I'm going to use it against you.
You said you would review Mirror's Edge. Where is it? Where?
Yeah.
About the Mirror's Edge review, I read it, but it's not on the site. Happened to that?
I think they were too busy trying to emulate your style, your format.
Yes, Andy, this is to you. I want you to get that out as soon as possible. All right, do it for me, Andy. Andy Jackson. Very similar to Andrew Jackson.
You know that's an epic name. Immediately when Will's like, "So, should we hire this guy?" I'm like, "Dude, it's a sign. His name is Andrew Jackson."
Andy.
I know, the president of the United States, that is the most gangster president. I'm sorry, let's take an aside right now. I love Andrew Jackson. This guy, did anyone see that episode with Jon Stewart when he was talking about that, with that book? That I forgot the name of the writer, but Andrew Jackson was having a gun off with this guy, and he let the guy take the first shot. He said, "Okay, shoot me." And then he shot him afterward. That is gangster. You don't mess with Andrew Jackson.
Yeah, you don't, seriously.
I'm not even American.
Dude, I thought the most badassy thing he did was screw over Congress. It's like, we're going to pass a bill. You know what? I have the power to say nay, so I'm going
to. And he said, "Fuck you to the Supreme Court. I'm going to fuck you Indians over."
What? All right.
And see, that is why we had to hire Andy Jackson. I really don't care if his application could have been as bad as that other guy we had. Personally, I don't care. His name is Andrew Jackson. His reviews were good, too, so it works.
Yes. So, yeah, everything worked out fine from Monstervine.
How many hits did we end up getting?
At least a couple, over 1,000 in our first week. Yeah, it was...
Really? 1,000 people listened to us, bitch? Damn. We should try to put some effort into this shit, then.
Hey, man, we must be doing something right.
Dude, I broke a Rubik's Cube. How the fuck are we doing anything right? How the fuck?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we should move on to our news segment. IDOS.
New segment! We need that transition, Will. We needed to get it done.
Yeah, I'm going to get it done.
Sarah must have a very angelic voice. Get her to sing a new
segment. Yeah, we need some jingles, man.
Oh.
New section.
But yeah, this is very good timing because IDOS has this annual tradition of fucking themselves over. We like this came around the same time that the whole Kane and Lynch debacle occurred, and now it's happening with Tomb Raider Underworld. Apparently, Eidos is telling gaming review sites if you scored the game lower than 80%, you're not posting it until Wednesday. Monday.
Which is bullshit.
Especially since IGN already wrote their review before that day and gave it a 7.4. So, what the fuck can you do, Eidos? Really, what the fuck can you do? You're gonna go to IGN and say, bitch, take that down. You wanna know what they're gonna do? They're gonna laugh at you. They get thousands of people insulting them a day. You're nothing special.
Yeah, I mean, when I first saw it, I was like, okay, maybe I'm hoping there's some legitimate reason why they had to, you know, like, okay, don't post reviews, whatever. But then it just killed me when they're like, if it's below eight, then no. But if it's above eight, then okay, go right ahead. I mean, what the fuck? It's kind of like, okay, if you vote our game is shitty, can you just keep it to yourself? Because, and then, what's a quote unquote, we don't want people to be turned off from buying the game. I'm like, well, if your game sucks shit, then you're not going to buy it. Alright, so, I'm sorry.
I don't know, a lot of people did end up buying Kane and Lynch just to see how fucking bad it was. I think Eidos is really like, hey, we can make shitty games, then tell sites to say they're shitty, and then complain about it, then get a lot of drama hindering around us, and people will buy our shit.
Yeah, you know, the last time this actually happened, Jeff Gerstmann got fired, and, you know,
yeah,
the whole
GameSpot
thing, well, Giant Bomb happened. If they didn't fire Gerstmann, Giant Bomb would have never happened.
Well, you see, that was pretty divided. I mean, some GameSpot members were happy because, like, what? He gave Twilight Princess 8.8, and then he gave Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 or something, like 10 out of 10, and then people are apparently just wowed by that. So, well,
yeah.
I guess, well, I don't really play Tony Hawk games, so I can't really judge, but
Tony
8.8?
Hawk 3, I'm a big Tony Hawk player of games. I used to play them all until Underground 2 and then just start pissing on the discs. But, yeah, that was actually a fairly good one. That was actually, like, the one to buy back then, so I can see him giving that a 10 out of 10. But, yeah, I don't agree with him most of the time either. He gave GTA 4 a fucking 10 like everybody else, and he gave Fallout 3 a 4. I was pissed.
And he recently gave Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe 5 out of 5.
I don't get that one either. I mean, every other site's given that less than an 8. He gave it a 10.
He's the real outlier for video game journalism.
He likes his Marvel, I guess. I mean, DC. Sorry.
To be fair,
totally make a comic blunder. Oh, God. Now everyone knows I'm not a comic fan at all.
To be fair, I mean, it's not like it was Mortal Kombat versus Street Fighter here. It was going to get some bias in it from left and right. Like, some people were going to hate it, some people were going to love it. And really, you can't really review a fighting game too well. I mean, at this point, they're all the fucking same except for Street Fighter 4.
Yeah, I guess, in a way.
Well, that will be a discussion for another time, because
yeah, we were talking about Eidos and something happened.
I miss Eidos making good games. I really miss Time Splitters. And I was looking at Hades and I was like, dude, Eidos making another fucking Time Splitters-like game. Published by Ubisoft. For the record, Ubisoft is one of my favorite developers, so that's why I go all fanboygasm for them. But yeah. Okay. Anyway,
sure, not because of
Jade
Raymond.
I was like, that's actually going to be epic, even though it graphically looks like shit. It looks like Halo. It plays like Halo. It's been done 1,000 times. It looks glitchy as hell. And I really don't need to go on and on and on, because that shit actually happened.
The game's horrible at that point, but yeah.
Well, good luck to them in the future.
Yeah.
They're going to fuck up again. They're just going
to... It's going to be around this time, too. They'll have, like, a holiday.
That's why it's called an annual tradition.
It'll be their holiday of sorts.
No. The one game they're not allowed to fuck up on. I don't care where they fuck up, but they're not allowed to fuck up on the new Deus Ex. It's not fucking possible. You cannot fuck up Deus Ex. They screw that one up, I will be in jail for murder. I'm sorry. It'll fucking happen. You do not mess up Deus Ex.
All right.
That's like messing up Jack, bitch. Or Call of Duty, Treyarch.
Oh, God. Did anyone enjoy that new Xbox Experience thing that came out?
Party chat!
Party chat, hands down. But I don't know why it wasn't there to begin with. I mean, I expected it to be there from the beginning. I remember, I don't know, a few months in after I got my box, and I was like, all right, so I'm private chatting with my friend, and my other friend came on, so let's see if I can just add him there. Then it didn't happen, and I was kind of scratching my head wondering why, and then I realized it's not possible. So, sure, it's good they added it now, but why didn't they do this before?
Well, really, if you think about it, no one did this before. I mean, Sony didn't even do this before in a game. So, Microsoft is already taking that step to talk one-on-one with one of your friends in a game, but... Yeah, I guess, I don't know, they probably could have released that update for a party chat at any time. I think they were just waiting for their annual update to come around.
They were just trying to, like, create this
probably, makes whole, sense,
like, converge everything together that they had and then, like, make it into a new dashboard.
Really, I don't see what people hate about the new dashboard. I think these people who are complaining about the new dashboard just have a problem with change and a problem with their Wiis.
Oh, dear.
Those avatars.
Well, the thing about the new Xbox, right? Like, sure, I think you brought up a good point about how they brought it in, kind of just consolidated all of their later material into one big release. And of course, this is up to debate, but because you know the PS3 is with the PSN, right? There things that are coming to it are getting more and more like the Xbox Live, and people are going to start wondering when will the Xbox Live be free? Blah 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 blah. So I guess they just kind of released this, and they even hyped it up. The new Xbox experience, like, we all know that they hyped it up a little bit. So, I guess after they released it...
They hyped it up fairly well, I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, normally with ads for their games, like, not even with Gears of War 2 or Halo 3 did they send a message to every single person. But they sent a message to every single person with even a silver fucking account. So...
Yeah, they've been handing out, what, the 20 gigabyte hard drives, like, $20 or something, just
people,
to get people
yeah.
to... So, I mean, like, just by doing that, I guess I kind of feel like they're trying to... still try to keep a lead over the PSN to give people more reason or to make them believe more why that it's good to keep paying for the subscription. Well, it's still true. Like, I still don't mind paying the subscription. Like, a lot of people don't, but I don't see, like, the PSN, in my opinion, still isn't right up there, but of course, anyone can debate me on that. But.
I used to think PSN was fairly close to Xbox in terms of actual online experience, even though I am quite fanboyish and biased. I will say that the random failures of SOCOM and Little Big Planet servers, and Fallout 3 freezing when you get a message, and fucking everything else, like the bad, what the fuck is it, Team Fortress 2 servers, the fact that World at War Online is a ported version of the 360 version. It's honestly just, it isn't good. It doesn't make PSN look good at all. I mean, it shows that they can't keep up with their servers.
Yeah, I noticed that a lot of the PS3 games, like, you have to have someone hosting the game, and then people join it, so it's... almost, I forgot the term already, but yeah, unlike the Xbox Live games where they're kind of server-side with a, I don't know who runs it, is it the developers, I don't even know.
The developers run the servers unless the game is published by Microsoft, like Halo 3 is Microsoft servers, not Bungie's.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Gears of War has Microsoft servers, not Epic's.
Yeah. I think, like, the real thing about the update is that they made the marketplace available on the internet now, which actually caused some crazy confusion over, like, free stuff now that Zach will talk about.
We got mentioned on Filefront. We got mentioned on Filefront. IGN did it. Fuck off.
So going into the free Xbox Live marketplace items that went down badly.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, that's...
I'm just reading off the paper. But so,
he's holding it right in front of his face. If you had a camera, you could tell he was reading a script. It wouldn't be a challenge to find it or anything.
Yeah, I'm totally handicapped.
Yeah.
So
that free stuff didn't go.
Yeah, I think Zach should just go into that since he's obviously the one with that.
Yes.
Obviously, the most horrible experience out of the three of us regarding that.
Yeah, well, okay. What happened was, I logged in on Xbox Live this morning, and I saw that my friend Rex, the dude from Treyarch, he sent a message, horribly typed, his keyboard was broken, and I didn't understand what the fuck he was saying at all. And then I see at the bottom, Unks M1A1 Carb, and I'm like, the fuck? So I click the link, I go on Xbox.com, I follow the link, and it says, download your free M1A1 carbine, and I shat three bricks, not just one brick, three at one time, and sent him a message, like, capitalized T-Y, bold-faced, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, I figured, if it works for me, and he sent it to every one of his friends, why the fuck can't I just link it out to everyone else? So I thought, Monster Vine, went on with that, and it turned out I wasn't the only one with this thinking. Will linked me to a NeoGAF forum with tons of shit that turned out to be for free. Halo 3 limited edition stuff, the Fable 2 limited edition stuff, the Call of Duty World at War limited edition free gun, the free gamer pictures that came with Halo 3 and Gears of War 2, a bunch of other shit, and I was just, like, thrilled. I was finally getting some of this stuff. And I was like, epic, I can even get fucking Banjo early and fucking The Last Remnant pre-order, even though I wasn't going to pre-order that because there's too many fucking games coming out. Sorry, straight off. Anyway, basically, Microsoft figured that out probably within an hour, I'd say, because it was working before I went to work, and when I got home from work, everyone had said it wasn't working at all, and that it wasn't valid, and that, so, yeah, that Microsoft had just raised it to some ridiculous number of points to, what was it, 99,999, was that it?
Yeah.
Something like that. They're all nines, I don't know how many nines, yeah. But they're all nines.
Who the fuck saves up that much Microsoft points is what I'm questioning. And I'm also wondering, what lucky son of a bitch is going to actually save up that many Microsoft points for Halo 3 limited edition gamer pictures?
It's just really to prevent you from doing that.
Well, I guess they just screwed up when they were implementing it online, and they only realized it now. So I guess it's safe to say that won't happen again.
Yeah, really. Oh, no, I think it's going to keep happening. I think Microsoft's just going to try to, like, go really quick with the editing and shit. I don't know, because that was a really convenient way. I mean, the cards and shit probably actually cost them money. Same with an extra disc to download stuff. It seemed like just a website saying, download here, was easier, but yeah. I don't know, maybe they should make a separate link that only works once or something?
Yeah, possibly. Well, at least they got that handled over. I have no idea how to segue to our next segment, which...
What's our next segment?
We're getting to that Fallout 3 discussion that...
Impressions.
Fallout 3!
I still have the paper.
Bethesda!
I still have the paper in front of me, so...
I don't have any more jingles!
Oh, that's what that was? I didn't even know what the fuck. I was like, Who's clogging my...
He was starting to wonder why he was here, but I changed that for
him. Okay.
We promised this.
Have any of you got Fallout 3?
I actually did buy Fallout 3.
Did? As in... never mind. I'm looking too deep into that. So you still have it. That's what I'm trying to say.
I still own it, yeah.
Okay.
When I say I did buy it, it means in the past I bought
it. Yes. I read a little too far, okay.
I didn't just buy it. I didn't say, oh shit, podcast starting.
No, sorry.
Hold on.
The JRPG fan in me is just raving. Sorry. I apologize.
But yeah.
I'm not going to lie. It's actually a great RPG. I love it. It's addicting. Oblivion... I hated Oblivion. Oh my god. It was so boring. It was, run up, hold RT, run up, hold RT. And that only lasted me a good 5 minutes before I was like, fuck this game.
Oh, yeah.
But now Fallout 3, it's like, I don't know, one, there's actually a plot that's good, kind of. It's good for a free roam plot, alright? I mean, there's not really much you can do with a free roam plot. But yeah, it's got some badass moments, like blowing up a city. Vats, which is the best headshot ever in all of life, of all time, since Adam and Eve, alright? That's that. Since God headshotted Satan, that is the best headshot. And, I don't know, the real-time gameplay is fun, the characters are actually good, the quests are fun. It's actually just an all-around good game. It was why I was so upset at Jeff Gerstmann for giving it a 4. I mean, now there is a lot of technical glitches,
I'll admit.
One technical glitch I had was I was swimming on land and flying and being chased down by enemies, so that was actually relatively fun, but nonetheless, it was a glitch, so yeah, I can see why someone didn't enjoy it, but well.
Well, the thing about Fallout 3 is that, first of all, post-apocalyptic premises aren't, I wouldn't say, they're an acquired taste for some, because obviously not everyone wants to hear about destruction, death, and all that stuff. So even though, like, I haven't played the game, so I won't judge it, but even though the story may be great, like, it's a story that not a lot of people might be able to connect to, and that may be why a lot of people might not look at Fallout 3 in terms of, like, how good it is as a story, because it is dependent on...
Honestly, the way they introduce the story is... Now, you're gonna slap the shit out of me for saying this, I know it, but it's honestly the way that Metal Gear introduces their story. Now, let me finish. Let me make my point.
Okay.
Don't judge me.
Go ahead.
All right. What they do is they're like, they pretty much give a great summary of like how war has changed and how it's like basically... Actually, no. Fallout 3 basically said war hasn't changed. Metal Gear said war has changed. Anyway, my point is they went on a big tirade trying to give like a moral code to it and how you could relate to it. and, like, every 10-year-old living in the vault and such. I don't know, it felt like a weird mix of Pokemon and Metal Gear all in one gigantic opening.
That'd be strange.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, actually, the way I described it. Did not think that one through, but,
Pokemon and Metal Gear, next podcast, all right? Next podcast.
Spoilers ahead!
Oh,
but, yeah, that's my catchphrase. Yeah, I don't know, the story is actually pretty relatable, but how can I think of this? It's basically the same reason games like Gears and frickin', Call of Duty 4 sell. Not for the online, but I mean story-wise why they sell. Because, like, you're at war, you're fighting for your survival. Really, Fallout 3 isn't even about your survival. Fallout 3 is about what you did after you survived.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
It's hard to describe.
Well, I guess the difference there between Call of Duty 4, let's say, and Fallout 3, sure, they're both about some sort of violence and destruction and some demeaning sense of, like, how humanity is really just dying in some sort of fashion. But, I mean, I guess
you
the difference with...
The way I couldn't.
But I guess with Fallout 3, though, because it's post-apocalyptic, it's almost very outside of what people will consider normal. Because, sure, as sad and as unfortunate as it is, terrorism is pretty commonplace in terms of people know what it is, they know kind of... in a broad sense of what results from it. But post-apocalyptic, we don't really have a real sense of what that would be like because it hasn't really happened in our lifetime. So it takes quite a bit of human imagination to really get into a plot like that, as opposed to Call of Duty 4, where you have people that are actually in real-life situations like the Marines and the...
Well,
I'll stop
look at,
right
like,
there,
the
but...
common 12-year-old who thinks terrorism is fun and shit like that, and just, like, laughs at Hitler and draws swastikas on their arm because they're like, look, I can support Hitler, because I'm a prepubescent, bloodlusting 12-year-old. Hee-hee. But,
Well, I guess in that sense, I do get what you mean, then, because in that sense, then, they would not be as easily inclined to play Fallout 3 because it has a heightened sense of, I guess, maturity... that you would need in order to play.
It doesn't even really
but...
have more maturity. It actually has more immaturity, if you think about it.
Okay,
it isn't
well,
real.
You could twist
you
that in that way, too.
Deep in your thoughts. I mean, if you're too mature and realistic, you won't get it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, because Fallout 3 is, like, well, a Western RPG, right? It's a role-playing. I think these prepubescent kids on Xbox Live who like to shoot people up, like, they won't have the patience nor the motivation to play something like Fallout 3 because it's not always, like... You know, I get to shoot people, and that's the end of it. Because FPS is, as we all know, it's like a lot of those real douchebags are just all in it for the instant gratification and don't really care about the campaign. Maybe not so much, but
every time I go on Call of Duty 4 and find one idiot who has zero gamer score in it.
You've been quiet, William. William, I want your input. I want your input on Fallout 3.
On Fallout 3?
Will, yes. Talk! You're just sitting there gathering dust. You're like an old chair or something. An Asian old chair. Actually, wait a minute. Sal, you're Asian too. I'm the fucking minority here.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
But yeah.
All right, Will, your input on Fallout 3. We just had a brilliant discussion on it. We want your side. Settle
it's
it.
It's like, I don't know. I really don't connect with Fallout 3 because I really think that, I don't know, the whole aspect of the game is like they built it on in the modified Oblivion engine and just doesn't look very kind of telling. It has a lot of those the brown contours like they have in like games today, so I really don't see. I have a real disconnect.
All right, here's a question for you. I have a question for you, William. All right, so as like a lot of reviews have showed, like if I say GT for example, they were saying how you could shoot someone in the head and they won't die. Like you need to shoot them, I don't know how many times to shoot them. Now, do you think it's a logical argument as to why that, like, people say that, you know, that's a bad thing. Other people say, no, it's fine because it's not a first-person shooter. It's an RPG. So what is your, like, what do you think about that? Do you think it's stupid that you have to shoot them in the head, like, 20 million times for them to die? Or how do you think that affects the game in terms of its integrity?
I think it's because of the VAT system is...
What? What, Zach?
I was going to say stop talking for a second, so we'll get an answer. Because you kept asking the question 6 times.
I know. I kept talking.
But okay, that was Will talking at the end. My bad. Go on, Will.
I don't know. I'll
shut up now.
I think the VAT system's flawed in that you're always like trying to aim for the head. It's like you're going to have to like repeat the same process like either way. And it's not. It's
now
not.
Put
it's,
you even more on by, the spot by comparing. I know you're on the damn spot right now.
It's a.
You said to me that Fallout 3 would have been one of the titles you bought when you bought a 360. How do you respond to that, good sir, politician?
I'm waiting for this because, like, you're trying to combine two elements: first-person shooter and RPG, and it doesn't seem to like work out. That balances.
Let him talk. Stop laughing.
I just, like, I'm kind of unsure of this game right now because of the whole implementation. It's like, you're shooting people, but it's not real-time shooting. It's by dice rolls. It's like...
But you can real-time shoot them. And real-time shooting gives you more of an advantage because it's
actually
more accurate.
Though. It has RPG elements implemented.
It really doesn't. I mean, no. What it is, it does actually mix perfectly the first-person shooter aspects. Like, if you aim for their head... You will hit them in the head, but if you go to VATS and aim for them in the head, your guy all of a sudden has the shakiest fucking arm in all of existence. So while it may slow down the game and give you a chance to think of where you want to shoot them, if you play it in VATS, it gives you less of a chance to hit. But if you play in real time, you have the chance to take more damage, but you also have the chance to give more damage. Get what I mean?
Yeah, I'm...
Well, I guess the VATS, it makes it... Let's talk about... While Will was talking about RPG elements, the VATS system, in a sense, it... kind of imitates turn-based battle, only in that moment, though, right?
Oh, it's, like, let's say, it's completely turn-based.
Yeah, it's like in that sense. So I guess if you consider that an RPG element, then that would probably be the only thing among maybe a few that imitates...
Besides the free roam and the talking and the quest, that's the only RPG element.
So Fallout 3, a game to buy.
Yeah.
Well, you already have it, Zach, so...
I say it's a game to buy. I say if you have a 360 and... you're tired of just playing Halo or COD or killing some random prepubescent 12-year-old, or you're a prepubescent 12-year-old, which we love, by the way, because Monster Vine loves all. Don't leave. Don't leave. But yeah, if you're one of them, you're tired of killing the mature people who spam you with shit, that's okay. But yeah, it's the type of game you really do just want to sit back and play. It's addicting. It's fun. It's just, it's one of those games you can't put down. You really have to force yourself to put it down, kind of almost like Fable 2.
Well, that...
Okay.
There you go. I actually can't say anything because I don't have the game, but...
Me neither, so...
We put you on the spot anyway, Zach. Will. It's okay, you damn Switzerland, you.
Fuck you. Alright. So...
Speaking of Switzerland and old wars, it's time for Retro versus Metro.
That was such a bad connection.
Oh, yeah! Success!
That was terrible.
So, apparently
terrible.
We're going to debate...
That was the idea.
Debating old games versus new games in this little special discussion that we're having. So, I'll let Zach...
No fucking way.
Zach have the context or background for this discussion.
The fuck?
What?
You son of a bitch.
I don't know.
You pass it to me. You pass the baton to me. I'm flipping off my screen right now. Find it. Anyway.
Well, you know, this actually might relate to that one of the editorials I was planning on writing. It was like, why parents blame video games.
I actually want to read this, so don't spoil it. I want to fucking read this. Because.
All right.
Alright, anyway, now here's my thing for Metro versus Retro. Honestly, this came up to me in a thought because I was playing Mega Man 9's demo. Yeah, I still haven't bought the game yet, but I'm cheap. Anyway, played Mega Man 9, and I'm like, you know, this game is really old school and it's really fun. And yet there are so many games that are new school and horrible, or just games that can't be developed because they're too new school, like Mirror's Edge. And I don't know, it just came up to me, which do you really think is better? Which was always the more fun? Which have we really evolved from Metro? I mean, retro games, have we really gotten better? I don't know.
Well, for sure, I think retro was, they focused a lot more on rather the gameplay and of the games themselves rather than, because we didn't have the technology back then to really tell a really compelling and aesthetically appealing story. Like, what we had, it all started with what? Text-based stories where it didn't really have graphics.
If you're talking about RPGs, yeah, it's pretty much started with.
Yeah,
Final
okay, yeah,
Fantasy.
I'm talking about RPGs first of all. Yeah, and then going on to let's say, yeah, obviously Mario is a hallmark for retro gaming. That was pretty much the platforming age where platforming was the shit, basically.
Yeah. Hey, platforming was the shit until this gen.
Mirror's Edge. No,
No load.
If you think about all the platformers this gen, all the no, scratch that. If you think about all the good platformers this gen, you will end up with one game, Little Big Planet.
Yeah.
Mirror's Edge. No, okay, Mirror's I haven't played Mirror's Edge.
Got a
7.3
on every site, and a 3 out of 5 on Giant Bomb that gave Mortal Kombat versus DC
Universe. Well, okay,
a 5.
Well, okay, the story sucked balls. Apparently, okay, I can't judge the game, but apparently the story wasn't that good, but. The first-person platformer aspect, that's pretty new, right? I mean,
I really did like the demo, I'm not going to lie. I played it 3 times. I liked when you just were free-foam running, and I really didn't mind the combat of it, but yeah, it was actually fairly good of a demo, but I don't know how the rest of the game turns out.
Well, I would think that it's a good direction for platforming to take, at least in terms of if you were to experiment with, like, because like obviously I think the one thing that lacked in that game was probably the guns weren't very useful, although I know that they didn't really want the guns to be a big part of the game. But, for example, let's imagine we take a third-person shooter game, let's say Call of Duty 4. You add in first-person platforming aspects like Mirror's Edge.
Okay.
And just put, like, a multiplayer, let's say, I don't know, 12 players.
So basically
players,
we got Halo.
Halo, you can't climb up walls and cling to ledges.
Okay,
but,
you're right there. So basically now, like, we're combining Assassin's Creed with...
With first-person shooters, something like that, right? Like, I think that would be a pretty good thing. Well,
that
if
would
could
actually
get
be
that
a pretty good
work,
thing. But we're straying off topic here.
We are. Sorry,
we went from retro versus metro to our fantasy world.
Well, hey, it might have something to do with current gaming, although it's future of the current gaming. But
truth.
Okay,
I mean,
fine. We'll go back.
Happen.
Obviously,
we know it's going to evolve to that extent. We just don't know when.
Well, I don't know. We'll see who does that first. But going back to retro, then, what was that?
That was my phone, sorry.
How dare you interrupt this podcast with a ringtone?
That wasn't a ringtone. That was my phone
what
turning
the hell
itself
it?
On.
Okay, then.
This thing's fucking
moving
psychic.
Back, then.
We're killing... Don't edit it out. It's good. But, yeah. First off, here's a good question to start this really debate out on. Was retro gaming really harder than current gaming?
Yes and no. Actually,
what?
I don't know.
I'd say mostly yes. I think the retro was a lot harder. Come on, the first Mario Brothers. You know how hard some of that shit was near the end.
Okay, I'm going to debate this right now. I really think retro games were only hard because we weren't used to them at the time. We weren't really used to them. Even if we played it die hard, like some people will play Mega Man 2 die hard and they can do it now, like no hit runs, just because of that. They got used to it. You know what I mean? Now, when we put the 3D aspect in, we had to think differently. It wasn't, oh, there's the platform. We see it jump through that to go under there. Now our reaction times have increased, and that's pretty much why Bionic Commando Rearmed sucked.
Well, of course, like, in both retro and current, like, we have to get used to the system that the game like is designed for. But I don't know. I guess because with retro, I find that it was a lot more. There's a lot more emphasis on delicate button pressing and, like, basically you had to do gymnastics sometimes with your fingers because, you know, to jump a little softly, you have to, like, just press the B button or whatever the fuck the jump button was back then. It was A or B, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
but
it was actually
you had to hit it lightly. Like, so I guess in that sense, like, as a comparison to now, it's, I would say that they've kind of curbed some of that difficulty by making it so. Because, like, for example, in Call of Duty 4, there's, like, an auto lock-on for the campaign. Like, you just have to get the. You just have to get the crosshair within the proximity of the enemy. Then if you hold down the left trigger, it kind of zooms in on them. You can put that option on. Oh, okay. Well, evidently that online as well. So I guess in that sense, in that particular aspect anyway, they kind of curbed that difficulty. They gave a lot of players a lot of auto abilities, so they don't have to worry about such delicate timing or delicate pressing of the buttons. So my personal opinion, I think retro is harder than current gaming, at least the way I play.
I think it's... All it's right. Because it became more accessible to a wider audience. They started the developers started making games to, like, cater to it nowadays. So, like, you know, people will get turned off by a harder game and probably won't play it than one that's a little.
Oh,
easier.
I agree to that extent, but I also agree that if you go back and play those old games, they really aren't as hard. They just seemed harder. If you like.
Play the last level of Mario Brothers. The last.
You load up Mega Man.
I don't know. Mega Man.
I mean, I'm
well,
not.
Some games were easy. Some, but I mean.
I'm leaving out games like I Want to Be the Guy that are like Metro and Retro because that was a new kind of creative of hard. But I'm talking like games versus Ninja Gaiden versus Mario Brothers, all right?
Well, Ninja Gaiden was fucking hard. All right, I'll admit that. But, I mean, that's Ninja Gaiden. That's Ninja Gaiden. Like, how many games are like Ninja Gaiden? Like,
okay. Let me rephrase this. Okay, Halo 3 Legendary on single player, increasing your reactions types to actually beat that shit. Then going back to, like, Mario Brothers and realizing, wow, this is actually fairly soothing to my fingers.
Okay, fine. Well, that yeah, argument you win. That argument you win. But
less okay, buttons what? Back then.
Point okay, okay. William.
We'll end that one on that note, but let's move on. Have we really evolved from gaming? I mean, if it's really that easy for games like Mega Man 9 or Bionic Commando Rearm to just come back, have we really evolved that much, or could we at any time really just go back to that and still be as good?
I think we can go back. You just have to, because over time, right, we get too used to what's current, and then what was back in the retro, like, we just kind of forget that type of system. Just like how, let's say, for example, I like to use Halo 3 and Call of Duty 4, because honestly, I think, like, me personally, when I play Halo 3 for a while, I'll suck at Call of Duty 4, but then when I play Call of Duty 4, I kind of get better at it again. Then playing more Call of Duty 4, I start sucking ass at Halo. So it's kind of like, you just need time to revert back.
Adjust.
Yeah, to an old system that you just didn't really use for a while. I don't think we ever really forget, unless you're a casual gamer and never really got good in the first place. But, yeah, I don't know.
I think that makes a point there. It's all relative to, like, how you play, in a sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I really do mean evolve more in the sense, like, humans can't fucking go back into monkeys, alright? Are we really just past that? Like, should they just stop making games like Mega Man 9?
Oh, no. Not really.
I think it's not as the... Obviously, it's always good to stick to what's current and what can how we can better the industry, but to me, I think the only reasons why these retro games might still come back is because it's primarily fueled off nostalgia. I mean, people just like playing the old games because it just brings back good memories of how it used to be back then.
Oh,
but,
I agree.
Yeah.
They miss that.
But I mean, in terms of it being something that should, like, you
stick
should
around,
make
like...
retro, you should make retro games because that genre isn't dead. I think that's a bit of an oversight. Like, I think retro, like Mario Brothers, you can't make games like that the way they are because, like, Little Big Planet, for example, like, they went further than what an average platformer was. They gave you the ability to create stages, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a way of reinventing the genre, but you can't exactly go like, back and like, make it the way it was back then because no one will like that anymore because we've done it for years and we want to see something new. I agree
to that extent, but I mean, you're right about the nostalgia. I mean, that's why randomly, like, in a Mario game, they'll, like, use an old tune just to, like, hey, I remember this, you know? I mean, I don't know if any of you played Mario Galaxy, but in that sweet, sweet Galaxy, they do have the, original Super Mario Bros. 3 song or whatever fucking song it was. I don't know. My mind's spacing out. But, yeah. I mean, if we went to old games like this, we couldn't now because we are too much of an advancement, but... I mean, you're not... What I'm trying to say is, like, you're not going to see games like Mega Man 9 made by Unreal Engine 3. Trying to get what I mean here?
Yeah. Definitely, yeah.
But
well, I guess, like...
I really don't know what point I was trying to make. My brain just passed out, but if you could recover and, like, argument this somehow or ask a question, that'd be great.
I can't even think of a question.
We kind of just exhausted the topic, and that's what I...
Alright, let's just end this right now. Which is better, retro gaming or metro gaming?
Well, I can't really pick a side, but I'll just say that, like... Because it's progressive, I'll just go with current gaming. That's it's really relative to person's opinion, and this is my way of bullshitting out an answer.
Well, I'll just be frank. I think
I'll save
I
my
love
opinion current. For last. I want to hear Sausch's.
Well, to be frank, then without really thinking about it, I think just current gaming. I mean, retro's fun, but I just like the current gaming as it is, mostly just because it's what I'm living right now. And mm-hmm. Like, for example, like, I think I try to picture myself, like, okay, let's say Super Mario Brothers 3, do I want them to create another game exactly like that one, like 2 years from now? Like, and then I think about that, I'm like, not really, because I can just play Super Mario Brothers 3, like, that was it for me. But I would rather want developers to try to, you know, push the bar a little higher and, like, make something better than what we ever imagined it could be. So that's me.
I agree with progression, but as far as comparing times, I am going to have to go with retro, just because of, don't know. I didn't need online to make Mario fun. Now that I have online, I cannot make a single-player game fun. Like, I don't know. Mario was just so addicting back in the day. Mega Man, so addicting back in the day. Games like Bomberman, I could play them forever. Two-player was the best shit. Now that we have it progressed so far, it's like it's killed single-player, really, and I just missed that. So retro's for my vote. I'm still the minority,
well,
apparently.
Well, okay, let me challenge that for a moment. All right. So the thing about it, with Super Mario Bros. 3, all right, and we compare that to, like, say, Gears of War.
Okay.
Mario Bros. 3 didn't really have online, obviously, and Gears of War does.
That wasn't possible.
And we all know that, at least in, in this day and age, we know that online, like, at least for most games, the online completely is 1,000 times more enjoyable than single player. Now, is it possible that the only reason why single player doesn't seem enjoyable is because multiplayer not only existed, but we know how much better it is? Like, let's say, if you can ever imagine, let's say online gameplay was just not existing, even in this generation. Like, would it be that you would still enjoy single player? Like, you would think about single player and enjoy it just as much as you enjoyed Super Mario Bros. 3 because you have nothing to compare it to.
I agree. I would enjoy single player just as much. I mean, I'm not downing single player experiences. I love playing the campaigns of Call of Duty 4 and Gears of War 2, but my thing is I will only play them once, and then I'll go to the multiplayer, just because the multiplayer is more satisfying. It's more open to fun with friends.
And because it's there.
Exactly.
Right? So, you know what? I'll just take that opinion as it is.
Exactly.
I will.
You
can exhaust us another time.
My argument of how multiplayer being there killed single player, but...
No, but I mean, again, I'm just kind of emphasizing the point that it's not so much you did make the point that blah, 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 because retro gaming, you enjoyed it more than you enjoyed it in current gen because the multiplayer kills it. Yes, that is the point that you made. But I mean, just the fact that retro gaming, it only seemed enjoyable because there was nothing else to do rather than it was better.
That's actually very true. The whole the whole start of this podcast, the whole start of Monstervine, the whole start of gaming sites in general and gaming in general, there was nothing to fucking do. It was the 80s. We were recovering from the 70s and 60s. We needed something.
And then the Commodore 64 came around. Actually,
exactly.
No, there's actually one before that. But anyway, so
we should end off with that thought, and because we're reaching a heavy
reaching
load
like
of time. 50
minutes.
50 minutes on the dot isn't bad. It's only 10 minutes longer, and we have an extra person.
You say that.
Very fun.
When you're not the person that's editing the podcast. What now?
You know what, Will? You have too much fun editing, and you know it.
No, I don't.
You're just a workaholic. God. Get some whiskey and edit it. Watch some YouTube videos while you're doing it and say, hey, let's just throw this in there.
It's the Asian in you. You like to work. You work on Christmas.
You hardworking Asian you. Get some sushi and go to work.
There's a mall near me called Pacific Mall. It's an entirely Asian mall. These people work on Christmas. They work on New Year's. On Chinese New Year, they work on Chinese New Year. It's their way of celebrating. Like,
they work on their actual holiday. That's a big fucking shit.
Making money is their celebration. They like to make money.
Well, here's Will's problem. He's a workaholic that doesn't get paid.
I remember the application.
Alcoholic with no beer.
I remember the application of Monster Bar. We are a non-commercial site, and then like all this professionalism in his email. I'm like, damn, I'm such a fucking nerd for applying to this.
I hit my close button right there, but my computer kind of crashed and sent the email anyway, so I was like, damn it.
Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
All right, we're out.
All right, man.
Yeah, we're done.
Till next
Thank
week.
You.
Well, I'm not going to be there, probably. Anyway.
You could be. We don't know.
We'll
Spoilers
see.
Ahead.
Spoilers ahead. That is the ending phrase.